We are here to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, even on Mother's Day. Without the resurrection, there probably wouldn't be a Mother's Day celebrated in our society today. So I invite you all to turn to the Gospel of John 20, verse 17. This is the account of the resurrection. We are celebrating Jesus Christ. That's what we're here to do today, and his resurrection. But we're also honoring moms. Motherhood. If you think about it, it's the oldest occupation in the world. There probably wouldn't be a world without motherhood. There was a teacher teaching some second grade students, and she was teaching about magnetism. Took out a magnet, showed him how the magnet picks up stuff in the sand, on the ground. The very next day, to the second grade's students, she wanted to do a test. And she asked them a simple question. My full name is a six-letter word. It starts with M, and it picks up stuff. What am I? Half of the students got it right and said it's a magnet. The other half, mostly boys, put mother. Six-letter word, starts with M, and picks up stuff. We are so grateful for our moms. They pick up stuff for us, even for us barabats, and we're thankful for that. In John 20, verse 17, Jesus said to her, her being a woman, Mary Magdalene, do not cling to me, for I have not ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. When you read this passage, in fact, John 20 is the account of the resurrection, the first day, you start noticing something. It's dominated by a woman named Mary Magdalene. Verse 1. It's Mary Magdalene who goes to the garden tomb early in the morning, finds a stone rolled away, goes back to Simon and to John. Verse 11, she goes back to the garden tomb, stoops down, goes inside, and finds two angels, no dead body in the middle, starts weeping. Jesus meets her and says, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? Says her name. She recognizes him, and she wants to embrace him, to touch him. And that's where we get verse 17. What is so interesting about this resurrection story, as I was preparing for this, thinking about this, a woman has a significant role in the resurrection. The greatest moment in Christianity, a woman is the first one to see Jesus. A woman is the first one to meet Jesus. A woman is the first one to go and present the gospel. She's the one who's the first gospel evangelist who goes and tells her brothers. Look what it says there. Verse 17. Notice, Jesus says, do not cling to me. Jesus was probably doing social distancing before he became popular in 2020. For I have not ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers. The first one who gets commissioned, orders from Jesus Christ, post-resurrection, the resurrected Christ, is a woman. A woman. This is very important. When the Bible was written during the Bible times, the status of a woman was very low. In fact, if you look at Luke, when these women came to Jesus, came to the disciples and told them about the resurrection, it says in Luke that some of the disciples did not believe them. Ah, these are wives' tales. It's coming from women. In that culture, the testimony of a woman was worthless in a court of law. It was worthless among men. That's why I believe the word of God is so true. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. word of God coming directly from him. Because I believe that if it would have been just these men writing in their own power and their own strength without God influencing them, inspiring them, John, Luke, and Matthew would have never put a woman to be the first one. The first one to see Jesus. The first one to come and tell them. Nah. God wants the truth to come out. He wants all the major players. Who are they? A woman. It's significant to God. It's important to God. So God inspired them. You're going to put that in the Bible. For a woman to be the first one. Before the resurrection, before Christianity, before the culture, thousands of years, women, girls, were considered low in that society. Let me just give you some examples. Wives were considered property. If you had a house and a wife, they were in the same category. It doesn't matter if it was the Roman culture, the Greek culture, or the Jewish culture. Jewish communities, in fact, what they did is that they, if a 13-year-old girl turned the age of 13, men would choose that girl and betroth them, committed to them to be legally married, de facto marriage, until they're the right age to actually be married to them. People took advantage of that. Older men would choose a girl. And these girls, they didn't have a lot of choice. They'd be forced into that marriage. The rules in that period of time, didn't matter which culture, rules were not equal. Women were not allowed to commit adultery, to be promiscuous. Men, there was no enforcement of that rule. When it came to abortion, infanticide, killing of infants, it was common in all the cultures. And especially if you had a girl, it was a low status. They were property. They were a burden. If you're limited resources, you'd rather have a boy than a girl. You don't have to look far. Just look 40 years ago in 1980 to a godless culture that doesn't have respect for women. In China, they had the one child per family policy. It was common that if you had a baby girl, if you knew you were going to have a baby girl, you would abort her. Another baby girl, abort her until you got a boy, because a boy was preferred. And all of a sudden comes Jesus, a revolutionary. He changes everything. Christianity changes everything. All of a sudden, both genders are sacred to God. Christianity teaches, no, both can't commit adultery, both a man and a woman. We're opposed to abortion, both of a boy and a girl. We're opposed to polygamy as Christians, incest, divorce, adultery for the benefit of women. All of a sudden, women are valuable to God. No, they're important. They're sacred. They're sacred. They're not property. They have dignity and respect. Their opinion matters. And that's what we see here in the resurrection story. I love this resurrection story. A woman's testimony. In that culture, like I said beforehand, a woman's testimony would be considered worthless in the court of law. If a man would commit a crime in that time, and the only witness you had was a woman, go to sleep at night peacefully, because the court would kick that testimony out. It's worthless. And here comes God, and he chooses a woman to be the first witness of the resurrection. God is saying, no, a woman's testimony is essential. It's trustworthy. It's important. Not just any woman, a woman with a past. According to the world standards, Mary Magdalene was a disgraced woman. Everybody knew it. She had a past with baggage that was going to haunt her. Seven demons that Jesus healed her from. Why would you listen to a woman like that? Maybe she's emotional. She's mental, unstable. Everybody knew that. And here comes God and says, no, I choose her to be the first one to experience my grace, my power, my resurrection. I want her to be the first. I keep thinking about the garden, because John here, there's this parallelism between John, the Gospel of John, and Genesis. Two gardens, the garden tomb and the Garden of Eden. Two women, Mary Magdalene and Eve, The first person who sinned in the world was a woman, Eve, when she disobeyed. And here in the garden tomb, God is giving a woman another chance. You're redeemed. You're the first one. I want you to go. Go to my brothers and tell them the good news. Tell them the gospel. Tell them what has happened. What is the takeaway for today on Mother's Day? Ladies, mothers, women, you are valuable to the kingdom of God. You are so valuable to this kingdom. God has a purpose for you. Just like Mary was called to go and present the gospel to the brothers, God is calling you, calling each one of us to bring the good news. You have an honor and a privilege to go and proclaim that Jesus is raised from the dead. You have an honor and a privilege to go and tell others about how Jesus has done your life and how you're a new creation. There's this controversy now among Christians. Why can't women preach here on stage to have the microphone? Interesting debate. It's as if God is saying today, ladies, women, you don't need a microphone. You don't need a stage. You don't need a title. You don't need an office. You get to do this honorable thing to present the gospel. How? In our limited mind, we think that it's all right here. This is where the kingdom of God is expanded. This is where the church is active. Here, in the 30 minutes, 45 minutes on a Sunday. And God says, no. You get the honor of giving small doses daily, week by week, having a great impact, the most important kind of impact, at your families, to present the gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection. You get to help others that feel unseen. You get to love those who no one will find out about your love. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in the church that nobody finds out about. The komitet never hears about. That is where it's at. That is where the kingdom of God is expanded. Daily doses, small doses. We get a half an hour on Sunday. You get daily doses with your children to present the gospel, to live out the gospel. What a privilege. Your children are going to listen to you more than they're going to listen to a pastor. What you do every single day when you present the gospel is going to have ramifications of the future greater than you're going to get from a half an hour sermon on a Sunday. What an honor. What a privilege. Where there's great honor and privilege, there's great responsibility. If your children at the age of 20 don't know the gospel, don't blame it on the pastors. You might have not done your job that God has called you to do as a mother. If your child is not excited by the word of God when he's 35, it's because you were not excited as a mother on your daily doses, week by week, day by day. Don't blame the pastors and the church. God is calling all of us, especially you, mothers, women, to go and tell others about the gospel. Jesus Christ was dead, buried, but raised from the dead. What an honor, what a privilege. The greatest message of all time. May God bless us. Amen.